I think in life, everybody needs unconditional encouragement. Somebody to tell you that, go ahead, do it. It's okay if you fail, but try. Hey, what's going on, guys and gals, qualifiers, listeners? This is episode number 55 of Unqualified News. This is your host, M. Mauricio. That's me. What I'm trying to say is I feel me personally. And many people like me, I think we grew up more so with parents saying things like, no hagas eso, don't do that, or stop, you know, para, things like that. And not things like, go ahead, you can do it, try. I was with my son last week. That feeling of encouraging him to do things, I'm very grateful that it comes out naturally out of me. Every time I do those type of things, I think about the future. I think about what it's going to do for him. I just wanted to start off with that because for the continuity of the unqualified news, I know the last episode was very, very heartfelt, and I didn't want to leave nobody hanging with the thought of, like, you know, did I get my son or not? So just wanted to start off and say that everything worked out just perfectly, and I appreciate everybody that listened to that episode and everybody that reached out. But on episode 55, Trump, Biden, and aliens, one in the same probably, I have an article from NPR talking about the indictment on Trump. You guys already know Donald Trump was indicted. He was charged. He went to jail, I believe. There's a bunch of fake AI pictures of him in jail that are pretty hilarious. There's another story here from oversight.house.gov is the website. It's a press release about Biden's family's peddling schemes, millions of dollars gained through foreign entities, mainly China. Also, there's an article here from Fox News regarding aliens. As you guys can see now, everybody feels more comfortable talking about aliens. You see them more on the news. You know, there's still those people that are like, oh, these wackos. They're real. They're out there. UAPs, UFOs, aliens, whatever they are, there is something else out there that we don't really know what it is. We us regular old folk. But someone knows what they are. Someone knows what's going on out there. These are the charges Trump was indicted on and what they mean. This one here, guys and gals, is from NPR by NPR Washington Desk and Rachel Treisman. The federal indictment of former President Donald Trump and the classified documents probe has been unsealed. The indictment lays out 37 federal charges against Trump, including obstruction and unlawful retention of defense information for storing dozens of classified documents at his Florida resort and refusing to return them to the FBI and the National Archives. Also named in the indictment is Walt Nada, a former presidential aide to Trump who remained in his employ after Trump left office. Nada faces 6 charges. Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith defended his team's work and emphasized the seriousness of the charges. Our laws that protect national defense information are critical to the safety and security of the United States, and they must be enforced, he said. Smith also noted that the defendants must be presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law, adding that the special counsel's office will seek a speedy trial on this matter consistent with the public interest and the rights of the accused. Here's a summary of the counts, which are listed starting on page 28 of the indictment. Willful retention of national defense information. This charge, covering counts 1 through 31, only applies to Trump and is for allegedly storing 31 such documents at Mar-a-Lago. Conspiracy to obstruct justice. Trump and Nada, along with others, are charged with conspiring to keep those documents from the grand jury, withholding a document or a record. Trump and Nada are accused of misleading one of their attorneys by moving boxes of classified documents so the attorney could not find or introduce them to the grand jury. corruptly concealing a document or record. This pertains to the Trump and Nada's alleged attempts to hide the boxes of classified documents from the attorney. Concealing a document in a federal investigation. They are accused of hiding Trump's continued possession of those documents at Mar-a-Lago from the FBI and causing a false certificate to be submitted to the FBI. Scheme to conceal. This is for the allegation that Trump and Nada hid Trump's continued possession of those materials from the FBI and the grand jury. False statements and representations. This count concerns statements that Trump allegedly caused another one of his attorneys to make to the FBI and grand jury in early June regarding the results of the search at Mar-a-Lago. False statements and representations. This final count accuses Nada of giving false answers during a voluntary interview with the FBI in late May. According to the indictment, each one of those charges carries a maximum fine of $250,000 with maximum prison sentences between 5 to 20 years. And there you have it, qualifiers. That's from NPR.org. I wonder if they already made that joke, like, not a chance he's going to get charged. You know what I mean? Okay. I don't know where to start with this one. I feel like anytime I'm about to somewhat defend President Donald Trump, I have to remind everybody that I'm down the middle. I don't believe anybody. I don't 100% believe anything, you know? So I'm down the middle and I have to call him how I see him. And if you don't call it like you see it, then that's some biasy right there. Because Trump has been attacked by the media. The media is owned by the left. So you have to admit to that at least, right? Not a chance he's gonna get charged. Not a chance. Comer reveals new evidence in Biden's family's influence peddling schemes. This one, guys and gals, comes from oversight.house.gov. House Committee on Oversight and Accountability Chairman James Comer, Republican from Kentucky, released a bank records memorandum detailing new information obtained in the committee's investigation into the Biden's family's influence peddling and business schemes. The Oversight Committee has obtained thousands of pages of financial records revealing the Biden family's and associates' complicated network of companies set up during Joe Biden's vice presidency and the millions the Bidens received from foreign sources. The financial records also revealed how the Bidens used complicated transactions to hide payments from foreign nationals, including CCP-linked associates, and provide clear indications of influence peddling schemes during then Vice President Biden's tenure. The Bidens intentionally sought out to hide, confuse, and conceal their influence peddling schemes, but bank records don't lie. The Bidens made millions from foreign nationals providing what seems to be no services other than access and influence. From the thousands of records we've obtained so far, we know the Biden family set up over a dozen companies when Joe Biden was vice president. The Bidens engage in many intentionally complicated financial transactions to hide these payments and avoid scrutiny. In at least one instance, the Biden's CCP-linked associates took steps to conceal the source of the payment to the Bidens. The Bidens' foreign entanglements are breathtaking and raise serious questions about why foreign actors targeted the Biden family, what they expected in return, and whether our national security is threatened. We will continue to pursue national bank records to follow the money trail and inform legislative solutions to prevent this type of corruption. Americans deserve answers, transparency, and accountability, said Chairman Comer. The complicated web of Biden family and associates companies. Biden family members and business associates created a web of over 20 companies. Most were limited liability companies formed after Joe Biden became vice president. The Biden family received millions of dollars from foreign sources. Bank records show the Biden family, their business associates, and their companies received over $10 million from foreign nationals and their related companies. The committee has identified payments to Biden family members from foreign companies while he served as vice president and after he left public office. The Biden family used business associates companies to receive foreign funds. Despite creating many companies after Vice President Biden took office, the Biden family used business associates companies to receive millions of dollars from foreign companies. Attempts to conceal large financial transactions. After foreign companies sent money to business associates companies, the Biden family received incremental payments over time to different bank accounts. These complicated financial transactions appear to be meant to conceal the source of the funds and reduce the conspicuousness of the total amounts made into the Biden bank accounts. Chinese nationals hid the source of the money. Chinese nationals and companies with significant ties to Chinese intelligence and the Chinese Communist Party hid the sources of the funds paid out to the Bidens by layering domestic limited liability companies. The Biden family and associates activities in coordination with Chinese nationals and their corporate entities appear to be an attempt to engage in financial deception. Multiple Biden family members received money from the Chinese after it passed through an associate's account. Additionally, Hunter Biden received money directly into his company's account from a Chinese-controlled entity. Biden family and associates activities in Romania indicate influence peddling scheme. The Biden family and associates activities in Romania bear clear indication of a scheme to peddle influence from 2015 to 2017, while Vice President Biden lectured Romania on corruption and ethics. The Bidens received over $1 million from a company controlled by a Romanian individual accused of corruption, Gabriel Papabiciu, through a Biden family associate. And there you have it. That's from oversight.house.gov. I came across this. It was hard to find this article right here. There's not a lot of articles that come up when you search, you know, President Biden Chinese payments, or President Biden Chinese corruption, or Biden family gets paid by China, or you get what I'm saying, right? There's not a lot comes up, and I found this one. Where do I start with this? I mean, there it is. This is from the government telling you that they are peddling in these type of schemes, you know, the creating many accounts and putting money here, putting money there, so you know the man doesn't find out how much money you got. I mean, that's, you know, people do that in the hood, you know what I'm saying? Like, when people are getting a lot of money, they don't want to have it in one spot. They put in a lot of accounts. But this is to an extreme. You know, this is in the millions. Not saying that in the hood they're not doing that, but I mean, we're talking about politicians. We're talking about international money. We're talking about Chinese money. This is insane. And if you go back to Unqualified News episode 1 or 2, I think I mentioned the Biden family and Chinese corruption. It's insane. I really do think it's on episode 1. You know, and like I said, with everything, I'm down the middle. I have to see things in the way of, this is what they're telling me, but this is what they're showing me, but what is it that they're telling me? I guess I don't know if I'm making sense, but I really don't think Biden's gonna, you know, win the next presidential election coming up, because things like this, it just seems like now they're trying to push him out, is what it seems like. And this is how they're gonna do it with things of this nature. I don't think an article like that would have came out, you know, if he was fit for office again. His son was just charged with some gun charges, I think. They gave him some gun charges over, you know, other way more serious felony crimes. I'm pretty sure I'll have a story on that soon in the future. But it's just, that also is another little thing which just seemed kind of odd. You know, they just recently had charged him for you know, colluding or something like that with a Chinese company being on their payroll and blah, blah, blah. And like a month later, they cut a deal with him and he pleaded guilty to some gun charges. Let me see. I'm the news. I gotta know. Hold up. Okay. On June 20th, U.S. Attorney David Weiss announced that Hunter Biden had agreed to plead guilty to two counts of tax evasion and would likely avoid prosecution for having illegally purchased a firearm while addicted to crack cocaine. Okay. I got my shit all mixed up. There you go. That's what happened. But it really, what's happening, I mean, he's also in the mix with this whole getting paid with his father thing, you know. And and look, man, you know, when you're on those heavy drugs, is you're trying to just forget, you're trying to hide, you're trying not to deal with your demons. And man, I guarantee you, this guy has a lot of fucking demons. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand secures full funding for government office on researching UAP, UFO sightings. This one, guys and gals, humans and aliens, comes from FoxNews.com by Gabriel Hayes. Recently, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, Democrat from New York, announced she and other lawmakers had secured full funding for a new U.S. Department of Defense DOD office specially created to research unidentified aerial phenomenon UAP sightings. The announcement follows years of Gillibrand and other lawmakers like Senator Marco Rubio, Republican from Florida, trying to allocate full funding for the government office designed to study sightings of what are more commonly known as UFOs. In a press release put out by her office, Gillibrand, also the chair of the Senate Armed Services Emerging Threats and Capabilities Subcommittee, announced she had secured full funding for the All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, AARO, in the Senate Armed Services Committee's markup of the FY24 National Defense Authorization Act. The release described that Gillibrand and Rubio collaborated on the creation of the office in order to help DOD with resolving UAP sightings, improving data sharing between DOD and the intelligence community on UAP sightings, addressing national security concerns, and reporting health effects people may experience in relation to UAP events. According to the release's description, the office has access to DOD and intelligence community UAP data and is required to provide Congress with briefings and reports on UAPs. The office was created in response to a rise in UAP sightings in America over the last few years. A report from the Director of National Intelligence that came out in January claimed that UAP sightings have surged in the last 2 years. More than 366 UAP sightings during that time frame have been reported to AARO. Until very recently, getting the office fully funded and operational has eluded Gillibrand, Rubio, and other lawmakers who supported its creation. Though the lawmakers secured funding for the creation of the office in the National Defense Authorization Agreement, the National Defense Budget for the 2022 fiscal year, they weren't authorized for adequate funding for that year and the next. In a press release from February, Gillibrand's office noted FY23 funding falls short of what AARO needs to fulfill its mission and maintain American air supremacy. The release featured a letter endorsed by Rubio. Gillibrand, along with Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat from Massachusetts, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, and other lawmakers asking, recommending the NDAA secure the necessary funding. In the latest release confirming that adequate funding had been secured for AARO for 2024, Gillibrand touted the decision, saying, with aggression from adversaries on the rise and the incidents like the Chinese spy balloon, it's critical to our national security that we have strong air domain awareness over our homeland and around U.S. forces operating overseas. Fully funding AARO is essential to our national security. The office provides the opportunity to integrate and resolve threats and hazards to the U.S., while also offering increased transparency to the American people and reducing the stigma around the issue of high public interest, the lawmaker added. And there you have it, qualifiers. That's from foxnews.com. Aliens. Ooh. Somebody explain aliens or like extraterrestrials in this way, right? Okay. So think about us as ants, and we live in this like ant farm, this big ant farm that, you know, humans, we look at an ant farm and we look up at it and we're looking at the ants, and ants are living their life. You know, they're doing their thing. The ants don't really... Yeah, they see us sometimes, you know, sometimes we go in there and we like poke at the sand or we break down their things, whatever we do. But we're there, but we're not. So the ants don't really even really know we exist. The way it was explained to me was way, way better than that. But basically, the aliens are, we're ants. And the aliens don't care much about us here, you know? They know we're here, but what are they going to come and do? What? They're going to say, oh, well, cool, give me the iPhone technology, or give me what, you know? They have different type of technology that we can't even fathom. We can't even... And when you start talking like that, people start thinking you're going crazy, huh? People start thinking you're seeing things. Someone told me that you have to be receptive to these type of things in order for you to see them. And I was just, you know, I don't believe anything 100%, okay? So when they told me that, I was just like, okay, sure. And they're like, well, you're pretty receptive. I'm like, you know, I mean, I believe. I just don't, I'm not out there looking. And, you know, if I feel like if I was ever encountered by a UAP, UFO, alien, I wouldn't freak out. I wouldn't try to attack. I would definitely be peaceful, because, man, 10 years ago, you know, someone would have told you, hey, all the major news outlets are going to be talking about UFOs. You would have been like, you're fucking crazy. And now look at us. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we'll probably be talking about trying to get aliens to assimilate with us, or whatever, vice versa. The only thing that sticks out to me here that I didn't like is when they mention air supremacy and they mention the Chinese spy balloon. Those seem like just points that they had to make. Those were those talking points that everybody gets, okay? You make sure, if you mention aliens, you gotta make sure, mention that damn Chinese spy balloon, okay? And mention that we need to make sure that our skies... that we got our shit together here in our skies, and that's the reason why we're doing it. You know, I'm telling you, I don't believe anything 100%. This air supremacy, yeah, okay, cool, we're gonna get more information on UAPs, UFOs, but is that just the government feeding us that because they're trying to do something else? You know, like, what is really in the between the lines of this thing, you know? And everybody's so like hopped up on the alien thing, and, you know, yeah, we want to know if aliens are real. Let's figure it out. Let's find out. So they're gonna go, yeah, sign it. But reality, what's in between the lines? I don't know. Who knows? You know, now what? Now they control the skies, or I mean, they already do, but now what? What's the extra? What else are they gonna be able to do other than share information? It seems like it's kind of cool. It's kind of exciting. I of course want aliens to be real. But again, I don't believe anything 100%. And I mean, this could all be, you know, aliens could all be a big giant lie. Could be a whole big giant lie. It could be some type of lie created back in the first time, you know, Roswell time. And since then, it's been some type of government lie to be able to keep something, not aliens, but keep something from the public. But that's like far extreme, you know? But there it is, the government is taking aliens seriously. Alrighty, qualifiers, listeners, guys and gals, thank you so much for listening again to another episode of Unqualified News. And if you didn't know already, Unqualified News is something that I'm never gonna stop. There isn't a start, stop. There isn't a season one, season two, season three. There's just a, just let's go. And there's been times where I'm able to get consistent, you know, with dropping episodes. However, right now, it's a little more difficult. But me saying that doesn't mean that I'm not going to try to be consistent. I am. Right now, I'm really focusing on work, and I'm really focusing on my body, myself. I'm really going to the gym very hard. I'm really trying to transform my body, and it's working, and I love it, and I see it. The harder I push at the gym, the more results I see, and it feels good. It feels really good. But after, you know, 9 hours of work and then going to the gym for, you know, whatever, 90 minutes and now to 2 hours, I get here, you know, and I'm all excited about Unqualified News, but I get here at home, and it's so difficult to sit here and talk right now. I'm wide awake early morning. You know, I had 2 cups of coffee already. You know, I'm going to go to the gym later. With all that said, even though through all the inconsistencies, I appreciate every listen that I get. And even though if my listeners have dropped dramatically, because, you know, after not dropping episodes for months and months and months, people think I'm gone. And understandably so, I understand. If you go back to early episodes, you know, the creation of Unqualified News started with a podcast that I started called the Good Fathers Podcast. It was a podcast that I started truly because I was new to fatherhood. My friend was new to fatherhood, and I said, hey, you know what? What a better way to get us closer than with sitting down talking about our kids, you know? But I didn't realize how hard it'd be to really find time, you know, two full-time parents at the time, to find time to sit and talk for an hour in a quiet place. You can make time for things you want to do, but it was very difficult at the time. So came Unqualified News. You know, I don't need anybody. I just need a mic and myself and listeners. And I appreciate you guys for listening. People are out there really listening. That's very much appreciated. And the Good Fathers Podcast, with the last episode, I had so many people reach out to me that it feels like a need that I need to bring that podcast back up. And I feel like it needs to be somewhat of a getting the story out there of all the fathers, because I've been able to talk to so many fathers, you know, joining a fatherhood community and listening to all the stories. Just, you know, you think you got it bad, but you got to listen to the next and the next and the next, you know. When you say your story, you feel like a load was just lifted. It feels good. It feels good to relate. So this is my, I guess, breaking news. The Good Father Podcast. I'm going to start up again. If you're interested, you have a story, please reach out to me. But I'll be reaching out to you, I'm sure. Again, listeners, qualifiers, guys and gals, humans and aliens alike, thank you so much. From the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate it. Peace.